Blackhawk, another independent Clara County individual, Mark Passio. Mark Passio, we first came attention, Mark Passio, a good friend of mine. He said, hey, man, you're going to see him at a Narcopoca. You say, yo, what's up? Then he came soon after and did a presentation at, it's called the International Graduate School of whatever the heck, the Thunderbirds. That was like a mile from my home. And I just show up and say, hey, you know, come on in the studio. Let's do this, get to know each other. Everybody wants to love on you a little bit. So he did. We've known each other. We're on the same path of, you know, kick butt against the they, them, those. And that's what he's been doing. Now, he's an anarchist, an independent researcher, public speaker, talk show host, conference organizer, freedom activist from the birth of the country and freedom declaration of independence, Philadelphia, PA. Mark has undertaken the task of assembling vast amounts of research in the areas of metaphysics, occultism, spirituality, symbology, and conscientious studies. In 2007, Mark began presenting this information in the form of a presentation series entitled What on Earth is Happening, with the intention of bringing the implications of this body of knowledge to greater public awareness. Mark launched his own website in 2008 at whatonearthishappening.com. In 2010, Mark began hosting his own internet radio show, also called What on Earth is Happening, which has over 200 episodes to date. Mark was one of the co-founders of the Free Your Mind Conference, the Philadelphia-based conference on conscientiousness, mind control and the occult. Now, we got to get into this occult thing here a little bit. Mark has taught intensive live seminars, including natural law, and it goes on and on and on and on. This is the main thing that brought us to brought Mark to our attention, is an understanding of how they, them, those think. What they are doing, what's their motivation, how deep, dark, you know, if you're going to create a big shiny badge of I rule you, well, guess who wants to wear the shiny badge? They, them, those. And Mark is like, let me tell you who they, them, those are, and here they are, they, them, those, and all over your life. Well, now it's evolved into one great work network that he has started and just launched here recently that we're participating in. You'll start seeing today, banner ads going up all over Freedom's Phoenix, and we're going to bring attention to it because it's curated by Mark to in, you know, some minds and presentations of, man, you need to, you know, see this as they start taking down everything. Well, I'm, you know, how vulnerable is he, and what can we do to help with that? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So, Mark Passio, welcome to the show. Add in there whatever you want. Make sure people know who you is.
Ernest, thanks so much for having me back. It's great to be here. I'm a big fan of the work that you're doing. I'm really excited to have you on board the One Great Work Network. And that was a great intro. And, you know, I've been in this battle for over 15 years now and, you know, just trying to hammer away to get the information out and help explain what I feel sets my work apart is that I try to get down to the causal factors. I try to address not just the who, what, when, and where, but I get down to the why of the human condition. And that's what my work has generally been about at What on Earth is Happening, talking about the deep underlying philosophical principles that people need to understand to generate true freedom in all of our lives and what we're doing that's holding that back. You know, I'm not afraid to get into negative stuff. I'm not afraid to get into the factors that people really need to know, but they are very, very loath to think about, that they don't really want to get into because they find it either disturbing, frightening, or that they don't really want to just sit and address these issues that are really buried deep down inside their own psyche and their own psychology. So that's kind of what sets my work, you know, apart from other researchers, is I really address fundamental causal factors of the current human condition and what we can really do to change our own thoughts, our own behaviors. You know, a lot of people are, you know, do want to point the finger outward and, you know, talk about the they, them, as you're talking about. And yes, there is a they, them. No question about that. You know, there are definitely people who are globalists. There are people who are, who I refer to as dark occultists, who are using human psychology against other people who don't know how it works. And, you know, they are out there. They're definitely taking action and doing things to bring people into a state of enslavement. But their all of their machinations can only work with our consent and approval, and only their you know, all of their plans and agendas can only you know, happen successfully if we do the behaviors. First of all, we're taken into their form of thought, and then we perform behaviors that are in actual opposition to natural law or the laws of morality. When we fall into that trap, when we fall, you know, for that, then we're generating the conditions of our own enslavement. It's not really them doing it. It's them influencing us to do it. And that's what I try to talk about, that we have to change our own thoughts and our own behaviors. That's really the crux of all of my work, both with What on Earth is Happening and then highlighting other people's work now with One Great Work Network.
Okay, you're highlighting other people's work, but there's, you know, I mean, how are you curating? I mean, this is because Mark Passio says, well, what is it that you're looking for? I mean, how many people, you know, you know, what is it based on?
Sure, I'll explain that basic process or procedure, if you will. The One Great Work Network is a just a conglomeration of individuals. First of all, it's not an official group or organization, and it's a by invite only network. So if someone's work catches my attention, I will send out a letter of invite to them to see if they're interested in participating in this group effort, basically, called One Great Work Network. And, of course, the One Great Work is to end human slavery. It's to end the condition of human slavery by changing human minds and hearts. So that's what the One Great Work is, first of all. You know, it's, again, by invitation only, so it's not like anybody can create an account on this website. I have to invite you, and if it should someone accept, we onboard them onto the network. We have a group of content creators. Right now, I believe we have now 43 content creators who are officially on the website. They are all basically the curators of their own content and information. So I don't actually pick and choose things that I want on the site. I am picking and choosing people who I would like to contribute as editors of the website, basically, and, you know, as content creators. So once I confirm someone for the site and they come on board, we help them to basically learn the content management system that we're using for our website. And then they could put on their own personal page on the website any content that they want. So they become, in effect, a publisher on the website. That's really how it works. Each content creator is given their own blog site within the network, and then they could publish articles, they could publish artwork, they could publish audio podcasts, they could publish videos. Basically, they're a content contributor to the whole network. That's really how it works. So it's not actually me just saying, well, I'm going to put this content here. It's me basically inviting people to publish their own content on the network.
Good list of people. I mean, everybody go check it out. Yeah. You know, it's One Great Work Network. One Great Work Network. .com. More Mark Passio. We come back just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
With Mark Passio, One Great Work Network.com. Go check it out. We're putting up the ads right now. Now, this is one thing that, you know, people like this, you know, have come to our attention, a lot of times from the same people. You know, we have some others that have kind of dabbled in this. You know, let's see, Max Egan, we, you know, have on regularly. We have, you know, Mark Passio. We look at his work. And it comes down to this one thing, man, we're up against something. There is something. We had, Mel Krell, Melody Krell. She was a Hollywood actress, you know, that is in Hollywood. We had her on, and she explained a lot. She, you know, a beautiful young woman that just, man, I got a book to write. And it came from, she went to Florida visiting with her father, and at the retirement area there was a 80, 90-year-old, used-to-be military intelligence. Well, you want to know what's really going on? Let me tell you what's really going on. These people are evil. Then what do we get? Just yesterday, Clapper, which used to be, what, NSA or CIA, whatever, one of them, and he's on tape telling the FBI, and he goes, yeah, you know, Pence, pedophile, you know, compromised, you know, this guy, that guy, all these people. Yeah, we got, they got the goods, you know, on them, and we know, and we control, and that's the way it is. What are you going to do about it? And then this never sees the light of day, and somebody recorded on their cell phone or something, and this gets out. Well, this is all what Mark has been saying and talking about for years. Because he actually knew, because as a young man, he kind of, you know, knew. All right, tell that story, Mark, and get us up to speed.
Yeah, what you're referring to, Ernest, is my background in occult organizations. And, you know, when I first started this type of work, I sort of debated with myself whether I was going to talk about my background in the occult, because a lot of people don't know what it is. They don't know what it means. And they think it's all evil. And what I was involved with certainly was something very bad. It goes much deeper than that with what the knowledge that these people have really is. So when I was younger, I developed a disdain for organized religion because it didn't answer a lot of the questions that I had about the world. And I felt that, you know, my, family members, teachers, friends were, you know, misleading me. And it really, because I didn't have the answer of, you know, what was really taking place in our world. And I saw religion as something that was giving people bad information and false hope, and sort of developed a lot of anger and hatred about it. And I decided I was going to look into the thing that was the exact polar opposite of that. And that led me into the world of occultism. And I gravitated toward dark occultism because there is a gradient. There is a differential there in what is done with the knowledge. It may be the same basic information and knowledge, but it's you know, how it's used that determines whether it's positive or negative, whether it's good or evil.
Well, define
and,
occultism.
I gravitated,
you know,
toward
you,
the really dark
people say
side.
Occult, and they, you know, okay, what does that mean? Is that, you know, Nike? Is that a brand of shoe or something? What does occult mean?
Right. Yeah, the word occult simply means hidden. It comes from the Latin verb occultare, which means to hide, to conceal, or to keep secret. And that's what we're really up against. We're up against people that hide information, that try to keep it secret, that don't want people to know, that censor, okay, that take information down when it conflicts with their narrative. You know, this is how the occult works. The occult works by them having all the knowledge and keeping everybody else ignorant. That is how dark occultism works, and that's what I gravitated toward. I gravitated toward Satanism. That was the branch of occultism that I got heavily involved in, and I became involved with a group called the Church of Satan, and I became a priest in that organization.
God.
So for a time, I held the rank of priest in the Church of Satan, which is an organization out on the West Coast, or previously was run by Anton LaVey. I believe it's now run out of New York. But basically, it's about total egoism. It's about service to self only. It is about looking at everything only really from your own perspective and not caring about anything else that's going on. It's pure selfishness. It's also moral relativism is another big tenet of Satanism, believing that right and wrong is really whatever you say they are. There's no objective standard of right and wrong in the satanic mindset. Of course, there is objective right and wrong in nature, and that's what we have to learn and then apply our behavior to, align our behavior with. But in the dark occult, that's not even a consideration. It's step all over anybody that you have to get what you want. Right and wrong are subjective constructs that we can make up, and, you know, they could just serve our own interests. And then that leads to the really heavy-duty stuff, which is, you know, social Darwinism, you know, and eugenics. That's their basic program, is putting everybody in this socially Darwinistic dog-eat-dog mindset of nature as a vicious, you know, whoever is the most vicious animal comes out on top and rules. And then that leads to, you know, the rulers can get to decide who lives and dies, and that's eugenics. These are really the pillars of dark occultism, as I refer to it. But what people have to really realize is that all occultism really is hidden knowledge about how the human psyche works and hidden knowledge about how the laws of nature work. And if a select group of people can control that information, they could basically manipulate people in almost any way that they want, because it's like taking candy from a baby to manipulate the ignorant. We have to look at this not so much as, hooded figures in robes going out and lighting bonfires out in the woods and sacrificing animals. You know, we have to look at it more like it's deep, ancient psychology that a select group of people holds close to themselves and tries to keep away from everybody else, so it makes everybody else easier to manipulate and control. That's really what dark occultism is. It's ancient psychology that these psychopaths apply. And as a result of applying that psychology on people who are completely ignorant of how it works, they're basically ruling them.
Okay. I'm looking at trying to understand the motivation for people to want to associate with or be part of this is what? Are you're going to be happier? You're going to be richer? You're going to be get laid more? I mean, you know, look at all the bare boobies, you know, in the
all
corner.
Of that.
What?
Yeah, all of that. It's any egoic desires, you know, base materialistic egoic desires. The general promise is you'll have a leg up on your fellow man in every way, and that will benefit your life because you'll know something that they don't know, and then you'll be able to basically use that to your advantage to manipulate and to get ahead.
Okay, so
that's
the mechanism
motivation
for this,
and people.
The mechanism for doing this is whatever it takes. You know, you strip away empathy and compassion. You're like, we can go along, get along in this club of skull and bones of whatever the hell, and we're going to, you know, kill, maim, do. I mean, anything counts if it's against somebody that's not in the club. I mean, how far are they willing to go? What are they advocating?
Well, not everyone in the ranks has that type of a mental attitude, especially not in the lower ranks. You know, the lower ranks are more useful dupes that are, you know, tapped for their, resources, capabilities, etc. The higher ranks, yes, those are the psychopaths that have that type of a mindset of, you know, we'll throw anybody under the bus at the earliest convenience if it suits our purpose, if it suits our agenda. You know,
right,
they'll
back,
turn on their own rank and file.
This feels up. It feels in. Are we going to get from this? Who? Government like this? What other group? We're going to find out.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And another independence declaring kind of individual, Mr. Mark Passio. Now, we're promoting onegreatworknetwork.com. And I see, it's a .com. That means, you know, it's a DNS servers, if we don't like it, and you're turned off, you know. And, you know, you got people that are on there using various different platforms and so on. And then you communicate doing Discord is his favorite. And then we have, you know, so I'm just like, it's all these great, wonderful Mark Passio castles built on foundation of the man's sand. I mean, do you have, you know, a future of, because you're way more geeky than I thought you were, you know, as we're going through this, I'm like, damn. And you built all this stuff? So I'm going, all right, the future. Are we putting it on they, them, those as a foundation here? You got a future plan?
Well, yeah, right now it is built on the traditional web. But I do have plans to take all of my material into the distributed web, IPFS. You know, the distributed internet is really the future. It's where it's at. I understand the need for that. And yes, it is something that I want to, future-proof all the information that we are putting out by putting it onto. So, right now it is simply on a traditional web server, which is obviously client-server based. But, I definitely get the whole paradigm of the distributed internet, and I think that's the direction really anybody that is in the field of content creation like this needs to go, for sure.
We just started, I didn't want to give the name out, but a Telegram group that it's active. We just finished the plan and the formatting, and there we got, you know, a project manager, and we got representatives from other forums that we're going to be putting our content on, and then it feed these platforms. So they're pulling it from us as opposed to me got to upload it 14 times everywhere and watch spinning wheels to take the data process. So this is what we're working on now. And it's way further along than people realize. And I'm wondering what technical skills you could add to it, or if you just want to lurk or you want to be part of the development of this. Because what we're doing is we're creating a Pirate Box Liberty Library. And it's kind of like, you know, the curation of what you're doing. And it gets preloaded onto, we have Raspberry Pis with a 2 terabyte drive that all this is preloaded, the pen files. So when anybody gets it, it's done. You plug in the power, the Ethernet, boom, you're a node, and you already have all these pen files and platforms. The Liberty community is done. And then it gets added to, and then those pen files get added to, and we got Internet 3.0 kiss my ass like now. So we're not waiting. We've been working on this for a few years. We already did, you know, Corbett's and Freedom's Phoenix and Pirates and everything as demonstration. So now the hardware and software is being, you know, make it grandma adjust button. Because that was my thing. I mean, you know, when you and I were going over all the stuff, platform, I'm going, whoa, man. You know, is there a grandma adjust button here? And he made it pretty simple. It's really, you know, he walked me through it like I was grandma. And I kind of understood, you know, probably a little more than maybe most, but it's definitely nice to have somebody walking you through it, which I have done on Freedom's Phoenix with other people doing different things. So, and we have tutorials and all that kind of stuff, which you did too, video tutorials, as you have people going through. So for content providers, you know, if you get an invite from Mark, make it as easy as possible. And this is the kind of stuff that needs to be curated that we don't lose it. But it's still on them, those platforms. So if you're willing to do this, what we're building is for content providers like you to have this stuff that then can feed, you know, to other platforms, or we could feed to your platform from our IPFS entries. When we put it in there, it's formatted in such a way that you work with us, and that's one reason why I want you to be involved, because then I don't have to reload it. It just takes it straight from one-time loading. It goes to you, goes to Floke, goes to the library, all these ones that we are interfacing with to have this happen. And what happens is it's not on some server with a DNS that they turn off and you're not allowed. Because that's common, Mark. What's your opinion on that? Are they going to go after the naming system? Huh? Are they?
I think it's going to be a lot harder of a sell for them to start shutting down websites than just deplatforming people from social media. So, but if it does go in that direction, I mean, that would be an extremely negative turn of consequence. I really would hope that hosting providers would reject that, because they are supposed to remain neutral platforms instead of acting in the capacity of publishers. So far, web hosting providers have stayed out of that arena. It's really the big tech companies that have been pushing the censorship agenda, like Google, Apple, Twitter, etc. So, right now, well, we haven't come under any attack website-wise, you know, domain, etc., hosting provider. But I don't dismiss that. I'm not dismissive of that. I'm just saying that for them to do that with hosting providers, first of all, there's a lot more hosting providers. They would have to control all of them. And then also, it would be a much harder sell to the public to say, you know, we lobbied to the hosting provider to try to take this content down. Generally, if you're on your own platform, they're not going after websites right now. Again, I would not leave anything out of the realm of possibility when it comes to what these psychopaths are willing to do. So I don't dismiss that might be coming in the future. But I think we need to future-proof our information anyway. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm a fan of, you know, blockchain-based storage like Library, LBRY, you know, .TV, Odyssey, you know, BitChute, you know, things like that. But really, the true distributed web is going to lie in technology like IPFS, D-Web, et cetera. That's really where it needs to go. And I'm all for coming in as even like a beta tester for this type of stuff. I think what we could do is like reach out to our general viewing audience and, you know, ask them if they want to host some of these boxes, you know, or even just make them available for whatever low cost that they can be. Multiple people host them as nodes.
Yeah, boom. And, you know, that's one thing, because we've been doing this with Corbett for a couple of years already. And he's sitting there, mm-hmm. you know, tapping his foot, waiting on. He goes, you do this, and I'm going to tell the people, you know, rock and roll, just do it. And then it's done.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the content providers themselves will want to have the box because that's where they're going to be loading the pen files to. So when they load the file to it.
We could build those nodes, build a node low cost, you know, distribute them to people that have decent internet bandwidth, and, you know, you're off to the races. I see that as a great model for protecting this information,
future-proofing
it on the distributed internet.
Do you have a Telegram account?
Yeah, I do. I made a channel. I have nothing up there yet. I just got into Telegram recently. I was a Signal. I was using Signal for a while, but I just recently created a Telegram account, so I will be making channels.
Yeah, I'm not advocating anything other than it's where they're doing it. You know, we're hoping to create our own, you know, pirate communication, hailing frequencies, invisible to crown. That's part of this thing anyway. So, but what I would like, if you're willing, is to make you part of this, and you can comment all you want or not, and probably give it a little bit, but we're just starting. We got the planning documents and the developers on there representing some of the platforms. I would like you to at least lurk it so that you can see how far along we are and what we're doing, and then as you participate or know someone, I don't want you to have to spend there's not going to be a whole bunch of yakety yak. This is get down to business. So I think you would be perfect for this because I want you to, at the early stages that you're doing this, to have this integration. Because this is
Ernest, I'm in all the way. I think it's a great project, and I trust your judgment. You know, I know that you've been in this field, you know, since the beginning, and I know that your intentions are honorable. So I definitely want to get on board with the whole IPFS, you know, distribution of this information. No doubt about it.
Yeah, because so, it's you and it's your audience and people that do. Because I find it disturbing. And it's not like we, you know, have a lot of choices. We're trying to create the options. But when you do something as important as what you're doing on their system, they flip a switch, everybody, it seems like they're whistling past the graveyard, just pretending that they won't do it. And I'm going, I went through this before with all you guys on, you know, YouTube. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Facebook, oh, they wouldn't do that. Twitter, oh, they wouldn't do that. Now, when the hell have they not done it? They always do it.
Yeah.
They're going to do this, too. We're going to have a solution. We'll be right back with Mark Passio.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Mark Passio, we've got the future is here we go. I can here we go. I'm rare. Well, Mark is definitely one of the guys that we want not much participation, don't waste time, but, you know, it's just to lurk a little bit on the development of where we're going, because it needs to be developed in such a way that, like, Mark understands not only the need, you know, the inevitability, and I think it's more inevitable than maybe, I don't know what his sense of inevitable, you know, I'm like now, you know, it's happening now. That's what our motivation. A lot of these guys doing this, they're feeling, man, here it comes. You know, this is not academic. This is now. So you're building stuff. Well, it's to interface with, you know, we can make it available to everybody all the time. See, I don't even want to. This is why when you do a Signal or Telegram or something, I just had a good friend. He comes up on Telegram because it goes in your contact list and it says, we got to have access to your contact list for us to, you know, who you're communicating with Signal and Telegram by their phone number. So when they join, it goes, woohoo, so-and-so's joined Telegram. And what do I always do? I go, I see you. Bunch of E's. I'm going, I see you. What do you mean, see? Because I go, see, you think you're private? You know, you think you gave them your freaking phone number. What do you think was going to happen? Do they see it? It's end-to-end encryption. Maybe, maybe not, but it doesn't matter. They connect the pirate network. They can say, I want hailing frequencies invisible to crown. I don't even want them to know that I had a message. Well, then in the transaction fields of some private cryptos, maybe you have a chance. Then here comes Quantum. Blah, 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 blah. It's always a race. But if I'm putting my name, I go on and I register, which used to be a local guy out of California in the mid-90s, and then he had a convenient heart attack, and it goes to Geneva, whatever I can control you. That's what I can do. Well, I can is out there, you know, hosting, you know, giving the name associated with a number. Well, what happens when they disassociate that name or that number? You better know that number. You know, that's why we're screaming, man. You better know that what that number is behind it, that 192 point whatever the hell. And I'm going, and even that, it's on their freaking machine, their web, their thing. If you're not going off, you know, of that, going mesh network, satellite, whatever, eventually, then even then. But at the very least, you need to have to where the ones and zeros, hey, they don't even know that you're communicating to whom and how, and then you get into tours and all this stuff. And I'm not a geek guy, but I'm not stupid. And who knows how evil and bad these guys are with the motivation to do this very thing because they can. Mark Patio. So, Mark, give us, you know, help us in this last segment here. You know, tell us what we're up against, man. I don't think people understand.
We're up against an ancient priest class, and that's a hard thing for people to comprehend who have no background in occultism and don't really know what it is and think it's all evil. You know, again, it's ancient knowledge about how the mind works. That's what really the occult is. And, you know, if we learn it, right, and we know it as well or better than them, that levels the playing field, because then you can't really be manipulated in ignorance. This is why I've been trying to teach people. I've been trying to initiate people into occult knowledge for the better part of the last decade. You know, this stigma that it's just something that should be shunned and not paid attention to and not looked at has to be, you know, gotten rid of. We have to explain to people that this knowledge is about how we work. This knowledge is about what motivates us. This knowledge is about, you know, what we have to learn and why to change thinking and behavior. It's all about changing incorrect thinking and which leads to bad behavior in the world. You know, that's what underlies everything that manifests. That's what I call the real law of attraction. You know, if your thoughts are wrong, and you don't have the truth in hand, then, and what more than anything else, you don't have what is right, what is moral. You know, what is right means what is true, but it also means what's moral. You know, what is right to do as far as a behavior that concerns another individual, you know, when their life, rights, and freedom are, you know, involved. Okay, so if we don't know what's moral, the behaviors that we do are going to be chaotic. They're going to create chaotic consequences for ourselves and everybody around us. And that's what's happening. That's what I call in my work the law of freedom. The law of freedom is that as collective morality increases, collective freedom increases. It's very simple. The more moral a population of beings behave, the freer they become. The more immorally a population of beings behave, the more enslaved they become. So then all we have to do is look at the result. Are we free as a whole species and a society, or are we becoming rapidly more enslaved? And that will give you the answer to, is our collective behavior going in more of a moral direction or more of an immoral direction? That's called the law of freedom. You know, when it comes to sharing that information and helping people to understand it, that is what I call de-occulting it. That's de-occulting the laws of nature. You know, I don't consider myself anymore an occultist at all. I consider myself a de-occultist. That means that I am taking information out of hiding and distributing it as widely and as freely as possible to people who want to understand it. And that's really that's the promise of the whole internet, right? The internet made that possible. The promise of the internet is for somebody to be able to share information with others as a publisher. Okay, as somebody who is sounding the alarm, as somebody who's blowing the whistle, okay? And, you know, the distributed internet is going to take the first iteration of the internet and it's going to build on that promise. It's going to make it virtually impossible for censorship to happen. Again, the technologies that Ernest is talking about here on this broadcast are about making censorship completely impossible. It's not about negotiating anymore. It's about saying, well, once this is out, you can't put it back. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, so to speak. And I think that that's a good endeavor to take part in. And I think more people should do a little bit of research and attempt to understand what a distributed model of information is versus a centralized model. Because once you understand that, then you can understand where these technologies are headed and why it's a good thing that we take them in that direction.
Yeah, and to advocate for it and to pimp it and to make sure everybody knows about it, you know, what's done. And we use their system to do it. And we take Parler and put it on Amazon's cloud. And we take Signal and we put it on blah, blah, blah. You guys are killing me. You know, and the whole time, for years, I'm going, you know, they ask, oh, Ernie, are you on, you know, this platform? And how come you're not pushing that? And how can I go, is it on a server? Can you take, like, I give you an example. Brighteon, you know, they come in with a, you know, the YouTube killer, they don't like it. And Mike Adams goes, we're going to, you know, the Health Ranger guy, we're going to go over here and you should come over. Just like, you know, you say, you know, hey, Ernie, let's go be on the thing. And I go check it out. And I'm like, well, can you delete a video? We put up a video, and somebody's going to come up with a 45 to your head and say, you got to take it. Oh, okay, I guess. Delete. I go, well, I'm not interested. Within weeks, the New Zealand shooting happened, and they didn't want that video out anywhere for nothing. That just went away, just like the Las Vegas, you know, Mandalay Bay shooting and everything. All of a sudden, you know, the biggest story of ever, and it went away. Why? And who took all that stuff down? And they go, oh, okay, even Brighteon took down that. Why? Under threat? Because they can. And I'm going, don't sit there and tell me how great and wonderful you are when you build it on their platform, and they're going to, you know, totally disrupt everything that you want to do and you built because you built it on their foundation of sand. So I go, no, I'm not on that because it's not going to sustain itself. I'm going to invest an enormous amount of time, a whole bunch of effort, and then when it really matters at Super Bowl time is when they're going to take it down because they can. I'm not wasting the time. So we need to have...
I agree. We need to go to other platforms for sure. You know, this is what I just completed, and it is. It's an enormous amount of work. Ernest is correct. Because, you know, me and some other people who are assisting me with my content took several months to just get everything on the whole What on Earth is Happening website basically transferred over to Library. And we're still not done. We did our whole news section and video section on What on Earth is Happening. It's all converted over to LBRY, Library. But we're going to continue with the podcast section next and convert that all over to Library. This way, nothing can be taken down. It's all on a blockchain and again, open distributed system is next, which is like IPFS or D-Web.
That's